Well, good morning, and welcome back to the God School. We, at the God School, are committed to teaching and sharing and expounding on the Word of God, which, how can I say it? So few pulpits in so-called churches around the world are not committed to. We have, for the last few weeks, been looking at Jesus, and that through his prayers. We looked last week and attempted to expound that word prayed, which is expresses something that is urgently desired. And the scripture tells us with the heart man believes, with the mouth declaration is made. There's another place that says, as a man thinketh, that is, a look at his heart, so he speaks. And through these prayers of Jesus Christ, the living Son of the living God, we are attempting to share the knowledge of God's Word without the traditions of men, of which Jesus said about those traditions, they make void, they make of no effect the Word of God. In the 21st verse, or excuse me, the 21st chapter of Luke, in the 33rd verse, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Think on this. And last week, our text was that prayer of Jesus at the Last Supper, described in Luke 22, where he tells us the presumptuous demand of the God of this world, that is Satan, to God, that the Apostle Peter be handed over to him that he might be sifted as wheat. And And as we pointed out in the 32nd verse of that chapter, that great but, you ought to have your Bibles open and you ought to circle that word but. Jesus speaking, I have prayed that thy faith fail not. Jesus did not pray that Peter wouldn't fail. This is the Apostle Peter. By tradition held up to be so great in the eyes of Jesus, so great in the eyes of the church that he was the first pope of which there is no empirical evidence. But if I could this morning have the ability to communicate to you as I have to communicate to myself, Peter was a man like me, like you. And Jesus never prayed that you might not fail. He never prayed that I may not fail. 65 years. Sufficient evidence can be gathered of my failure as a man. But thanks be to God, in spite of those failures, by his grace, my faith has not failed. If we went on and read in this chapter, almost immediately after Jesus shares his heart about what he prayed for with Peter, Peter goes out and fails. In fact, in his own words, Jesus tells Peter he's going to fail. My hesitations are that the hearers of this message may have time to contemplate what's being said. My hesitations are that because this message is so important, so woven into the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that I want not only to speak it effectively, but I want it to be heard effectively. Jesus, through Peter, because he's like every one of us who puts some measure of confidence in the flesh, and we all do because we are flesh, he opens his mouth and on more than one occasion we have this portrait of the man, Peter, whom God did call to be an apostle, which means to be a sent one of his opening his mouth and putting his foot in it. Before you get out of this 22nd verse, we read, or 22nd chapter, we read about Peter's failure as a man. But it takes more than just a chapter of Scripture to give us the full picture. In this chapter, we find Peter sleeping when he should have been praying. We find him following afar off rather than staying close to the Lord and grabbing hold of his word. We find him substituting action of the flesh rather than holding on to that heartfelt expression that Jesus made to him that his faith would fail not. We find him substituting his action, not based on God's word, but based on flesh and blood, you know. I'm reminded of another incident in the gospel when Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says to them, "Who say ye that I am?" And there were a few responses, and a response came from Peter. He said, "Thou art the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God." And Jesus' response to Peter's response was, "Peter," and I'm paraphrasing, "I want you to know this. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, revealed it to you." On that point, Peter's proclamation of who Jesus was. Jesus tells us was a spiritual response. Jesus tells us the substance and source of Peter's confession about Jesus, that it was from God. Because of what Peter did, was he cast out of the kingdom? No, we have the rest of the book to tell us that one of the first things that Jesus did when, after the resurrection, when God had raised him from the dead, he said to the women, "Go and tell my disciples and Peter." He was letting Peter know that his failure did not exclude him from the kingdom of God. Where is that message in the church today? The 37th Psalm says, though he stumble, we could substitute the word fail. Though he stumble, he shall not utterly be cast out. And that psalm ends by saying, and he shall help them and deliver them and deliver them from evil and save them because they trust in him. Because they, we have to make up a word, because they faith in him. Jesus prayed that Peter's faith would not fail. Jesus, the same yesterday, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, prays for us, and his prayer is that our faith fail not. Are you in need of consolation? My brothers and sisters in Christ, as I have gone through this study, I have found great consolation in this. That Jesus prays for me. As we read, in Hebrews 7th chapter, 25th verse, speaking of Jesus, he ever liveth to make intercession. It says in the King James, for them, we can put it in the personal, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. I don't say this very often, Hallelujah. Jesus prayed for Peter. Hebrews tells us he ever liveth praying for us. And what is his prayer? That our faith fail not. I'm not delivering some long drawn out sermon, some high toned teaching. I'm trying to share with you from the Word of God the heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of whom it is said that God was in Christ. And therefore, I'm trying to reveal from God's Word God's heart. That most famous verse of Scripture, John 3:16, reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," King James, "whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." My Bible right here marks this and says, this is the most precious, called the most precious verse. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, in the 13th chapter, the close of the chapter, he says, "But these three abide: faith, hope, and love." I want to just go for a moment into this verse a little deeper. 1st of all, I would tell you that the emphasis that Paul gives in 1 Corinthians 13 is the love of God. The love of Jesus Christ. It says, "so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," King James translates, "whosoever believeth in him," folks, the Greek word is pistuan. And though it is a derivative of pisteo, faith. Faith is acting on the promises of God. This verse taken out of context and probably not properly translated has given way to the tradition of man, which teaches eternal salvation, once saved, always saved. That's not what this verse is saying. The form of the verb pisteo here should be translated faithing. The ones faithing, not the ones who had faith, not the ones who will faith, although it does incorporate that. It is in the present tense. And it says, to the ones faithing in Him, that is, in Christ, because of the love of God and the gift of faith, and when we exercise faith, we are faithing. Should not perish, but have eternal life. So we, or in this verse, we have manifested what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now abideth faith, hope, and love. We have the love of God to the ones faithing because of the promise of God and the hope we have in it of eternal life. To the ones faithing, I want to encourage you. We're not in heaven yet. We're not home yet. We're not experiencing the totality of what God has prepared for those who love Him. But we have the hope to the ones faithing. Of eternal life. I'm grateful to God for the honesty that is found in Scripture, because it does not describe perfect men, but it does declare what God has made available to us, that is His gift of faith. And when we are exercising that gift, we are faithing. And in that condition, not in a condition of life which might be successful or which might fail. And we have few, honestly, Jesus said, or Paul said, you see, brethren, how few nobles are with us, but success does not exclude one from a relationship with God. Jesus said it makes it tougher. You know, what did he say? It's harder for a rich man to enter into heaven than for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. And I'm not going into it. That is a metaphor, if you will. On its face, you would say it would be impossible then for a rich man to go in. That's not true. there is that line of doctrine in some churches that they take that literally, and therefore, you know, they give up all worldly wealth, enter into monasteries, become like James, spend the rest of their lives on their knees praying. And there are those of us who, though we would always want for the flesh to manifest, the confidence we have in God, as Peter did express to Jesus in that 22nd chapter of Luke. To the ones loving God, to the ones faithing God, in this life, there is failure. But failure does not exclude one from the kingdom of God, from eternal life. We place our hope and our confidence in God, who has revealed himself to us through this word, which we call Scripture, which we call the Bible. It reveals to us his great love toward us. It reveals his knowledge of our failures, and it reveals to us Jesus, God manifested in the flesh, and his heart's desire that our faith fail not. Be encouraged, brothers and sisters in Christ, who have been placed there by not only the call and choosing of God, but the gift and operation of faith, be encouraged. Jesus is praying for you and me right now. And his prayer is not that we fail not, but that our faith fail not. And that's the God School for today.